everybody. This is Willie Windwalker.
And this is the Willie Windwalker Show. I'm glad that you all are ready for Halloween and ready to be with me tonight, because I have a guest that everybody's going to like. And her name is Kimberly Cole Zimke, and Kimberly is an actress and a model. And I'm going to go down through her credits here, and then if we got time, we'll go back and talk to Kim. She's an amusement park designer. She has traveled the world and has ran a charity haunted house and hayride named Screen Farm. She co-owns two businesses, a transmission shop and a salvage place. And she has been in a lot of movies, you know, movies called Dorm of the Dead, Body Snatchers, Dead Clowns, Bigfoot Terror, and on and on and on, and we'll talk about that. But right now, I want to bring Kim on. How are you, Kim?
I'm doing great, Willie. Thanks for letting me be on your show.
Yeah, I was going down your credits here, and what I'd like to do, especially if I have somebody that's been in film work, I'd like to talk a little bit about their upbringing. How did you, you know, where are you from, and how did you transition into what you're doing now?
I've been in Alabama for most of my life, and my mother, I was very tall. I grew, like, really fast as a kid, and so by the time I was about fifth grade, I was 16. So it was kind of natural, I guess, since I had done some gymnastics and done some ballet. My mother got me into modeling, and the modeling just sort of stuck. My brother and I both were 6 feet tall, and we both did some modeling. And from there, my brother started to, he got in with a group that was doing some acting, and he started to do a little acting, and he started doing stunts and films. And so from there, he taught me how to do some fight stunts, and I eventually went to an audition for Body Snatchers, Warner Brothers Body Snatchers. It was directed by Abel Ferrara, and I got a speaking part on it. And I also did uncredited stunts with my brother, so, you know, that it was. From there, I got the acting bug and just sort of, I like to say I started out in A films with Warner Brothers and worked my way down to B films and Z films. So.
Now, I saw a picture of you with a guy that looked like a creature features host. Were you into that, too?
Yeah, that's Dick Dizel. He was Count Gordyval. So, yeah, I was on his show. Yeah, he was a lot of fun. It was great fun. He's like a vampire character, and he's been doing it for years, and he still does it. He just doesn't do it on TV like he used to. He does it on the internet now, and I think he has quite a following. I put a picture up, like you said, on my Facebook recently, and just got tons of people that knew who he was. So, yeah, he's a great guy.
I think every town's got a movie host like that. I mean, we had one here in Louisville, you know, that came on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, and us kids would get around the, you know, the TV set with our snacks and watch creatures features, and ours was, his name was Wally Morbid or something like that. And he's Wally Morbid, you know, and you know, we sat there and we would get scared to death just watching him, you know, instead of the movie. So I think just about every town has their own little host like that.
Yeah, if they don't, they need to, don't they? Yeah, because
us kids, I mean, you know, you talk so hosts like that. You were good babysitters because my parents would go out on a date night, and I was like 12, and I had little kids under me, you know. They just give us plenty to eat and turn on the TV, and we were good to 12 o'clock. So, you know, and we would sit there and get scared, you know, just watching TV.
Yeah, ours was Friday Night Fright. That's what it was called when I was growing up. I think it was out of Montgomery, Alabama. So that was our local guy. And I can't remember exactly. I think he was a vampire, too. But it was Friday Night Fright, and they would do two films, and they would be at midnight on Friday night. So we could stay up till midnight, you know, on a Friday night. So, yeah, that's great. Those are great times.
Well, tell me a little bit about this. I got down here. You told me about amusement ride designer. What exactly is that?
Well, I haven't had any of them produced yet, but it's kind of a side hobby of mine. I'm actually looking for a person that can do an architectural ride model of my one of my rides that I call the Body Snatcher right now. I can't really describe it because what I want to do by getting the architectural model maker is to get a patent. I'm hoping to get a patent on it. And then one day maybe, hey, dream come true, perhaps produce one, you know, a prototype.
Well, you know, I've seen pictures of your property, and you have a lot of different things out there. It's kind of unusual, but I think, you know, I can see that the way you like to do really different things, you know. You've got a few rides out on your property, don't you?
I do. I kind of have a salvage company with my brother, K&K Salvage, and we just buy and sell everything. And I've loved amusement park rides since I was a child. I guess everybody does love the fair and love carnivals. So I had seen where Elitch Gardens was getting rid of some equipment, and I one thing led to another, and I called them, and I worked a deal on two. They're called Chance Chaos Rides. And the only one that's running in this country is at Circus Circus in Las Vegas. But I actually had two of them. We went all the way up to Elitch Gardens in Denver, Colorado, and I hired three 18-wheeler guys that, you know, drive the big 48-foot trucks, because it took all three of the trucks and then our two trucks to get the two rides. And I ended up selling one of them, which ended up paying for the whole deal, which was a lot of money. But I sold the one, you know, parted it out, and then I still have the other one. I still have it here. It's a really big ride, and it's a really interesting thrill ride, too. Really pretty when you see it. This ride was originally the Krypton Comet in Missouri at Six Flags Over Missouri. So it went from being the Krypton Comet to going to Elitch Gardens, and it ran there for about 5 years. And then I bought that one and the other one that they had kept for parts but never used the parts from. So I got both of them. And I also have a 1949 Ferris wheel. It's from 1949, and we completely refurbished it. It's sitting in our front yard right now filled with skeletons because we do a huge Halloween party for our community, which is going to be social distance this year, and everybody's going to wear masks, of course. But we're doing it outdoors, and we're still going to have it this year for the community. And so they look forward to seeing this Ferris wheel. The kids love it.
It appears to me like when we were kids, we always had that one house that gave the good candy bars, you know, the regular candy bars. And that was our favorite house on the block. It seems to me you got that kind of beat.
That's me, Willie. That's definitely me. The kids call my house the creepy house and the fun house. And, yeah, I do. I give just loads of candy. And we also give little loot bags with all kinds of little toys and vampire fangs and stuff like that. And we also do cotton candy and popcorn. We give out hot dogs and cupcakes. So we just it's our customer appreciation day for both businesses, K&K Salvage and Kenny Robbins Transmission, and we just do it for the community. And everybody loves us doing it, so.
Well, in looking at your bio and some of your pictures that you sent me, you started really young, like at 18 doing things, right?
Yeah, probably younger than that. Yeah, I started modeling. My mother had me modeling at 12 and 13 for various clothing stores and a couple of designers, one called Pompeii Fashions. And so I started out really young. And, you know, and I owe my mom. My mom is just a wonderful, creative person, and she has always been really outgoing. She used to teach, ethnic dances, and she taught me how to do Egyptian belly dance, which is it's kind of on my IMDb site, and everybody gets a kick out of that. They're like, do you still belly dance? Well, not in a while, but, yeah, I still have the skills. I still know how to do it, so.
Well, you also, I see here, where you've traveled the world. Is that with your filming?
Some of it, but most of it, my son was a gifted student, and he tested genius level at a young age, and so I wanted to show him the world. I just wanted to give him, you know, an idea that there there are other countries and other people. I wanted him to love everybody and learn about other cultures and other people. So, you know, we took him to China and Japan, and I took him all over Europe and, you know, Canada. He's been all over. You know, he's been to the Caribbean. We took him a lot of places. He's a good kid. He's about to go to LMU. The COVID has slowed everything down, but he was accepted into the gifted program, the honors program at LMU, to take medical genetics, into their medical genetics program. But COVID slowed it down, so it looks like he's not going to be over there until probably January or February. That's the latest projection.
Exactly how many films have you been in?
You know, I haven't counted. I don't know. My husband usually keeps up with all that, and I really have never counted, just a lot of them. And I don't think all of them are actually on IMDb. So, yeah, I just got back from this past weekend, went down to Pascagoula, Mississippi, and did a featured cameo. I'm going to end up being the very first zombie that you see in the film. For a movie called Interfere, and this is one of the first films that was made specifically for the new FearFlix channel. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
I noticed here lately that, you know, with the COVID and everything, and the theater's been closed down, that a lot of the big-name stars is going to Netflix and putting their stuff on Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, and that movie, Interfere, that's going to be live streamed on Halloween night from WGUD 51 out of Pascagoula, Mississippi. So they're going to live stream it. So if anybody wants to watch, it's called Interfere. It's a very interesting zombie movie.
Well, how long does it usually take you on a film, usually?
Usually work about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks on most films. This one we went down and handled in a couple of days. And I have a really good friend, Dawn DeVerger. I've worked with her on another film called Cremains years ago. So this was kind of a reunion for us. We worked on the film Cremains, and then she did special effects for this film. So she got to make me up really ugly, like a dead, rotting zombie, which was perfect for October, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you said, I got down here on your credits, Body Snatchers. Now, that's the newer one, right?
That was the one that was made in 1993. Abel Ferrara was the director.
Well, do you think, you know, like this was a remake, do you think the newer versions of horror films versus the older versions are better, or should things be left along with the originals?
You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. With the film Dawn of the Dead, I kind of feel like they blew it out of the park with the remake. I really have enjoyed the remake, and I've seen it probably 15 times. But films like Poltergeist, the original Poltergeist is always going to be the better one. I actually just watched the new Poltergeist a couple days ago, and I cringe. It's cringeworthy. Really, it's not a great film. I hate to say that, but it's really not.
Do you think that the older versions of films had the better makeup in them?
Yes, practical effects. I am a big fan of practical effects. I do not care for CGI. In some cases, you have to have CGI. There are just some things you just can't do without CGI, but I love practical effects. And that's why I love working with the Mahal Empire, the Mahal brothers, Michael and Sonny Mahal. I've done 3 films with them, Bridge of the Doomed, Bloodthirst, and Death Count. And they use all practical effects. They hire really good effects teams, and all of the effects are you know, practical. What you see is you know, they've really used products to make that. And I like that. I'm a big fan of practical effects. So.
Now, the movie you made a couple of months back in the desert, it was a vampire movie, wasn't it?
Yes, it's an apocalyptic vampire film where the vampires have taken over and the world, and, you know, they've taken over the whole world in the future. And that film starred Tara Reid and Costas Mandalore, Robert Lasordo. And I got to work with Costas Mandalore, who was Lieutenant Hoffman in, I think, 5 of the 7 Saw movies. And he used to do the series Picket Fences. And he is just a dream. He's just a doll to work with. Gorgeous Australian guy and just really, really sweet. I really enjoyed working with him. Really enjoyed working with Tara Reid. I think she's really, she's beautiful, and she was just incredibly kind. Really, you know, always hit that mark. She's a great actress. It was a joy to work with her. She put me through a lot. She gets to torture me with, of course, this is like a, like, you know, kind of not supposed to say a whole lot about it, but but let's just say she gets to bite me. So she bites me on the arm. So I got to have some really cool special effects and lots of blood.
Now, is that going to big screen or cable?
I think it's going to be it's going to be a streaming thing now with everything. It's going to be on all of the, you know, Redbox and there's going to be a premiere in Vegas for Bridge of the Doomed was the first Mahal film that I did, and that was last October. And it's supposed to, they just did more pickup shots out in the desert, more zombies. They wanted there to be more blood, more zombies. You know, they're just going to make it a really good quality film. And I think it's going to come out in June of 2021. And then I'm not
now,
sure
you
about
do...
but
yeah.
In July I did Death Count, and that film has Michael Madsen in it, which, you know, Michael Madsen was just in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood film. I think he's done all of Tarantino's films. He was in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
War Games. He's been in a ton of films.
Yeah, he was in Species, too.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great actor, a really kind man. And, of course, Costas Mandalore is going to be in this one, and he plays the warden. So he plays a really just a brutal, brutal guy, and he gets to put us all through, you know, H-E double toothpicks, you know, really puts us through a lot because we're kidnapped and we're prisoners, and I'm number 7.
Now, how much do you get to actually talk in these movies? Do you get a lot talk? Do you get a lot of dialect that you could do?
Yeah, I get a lot of dialogue. I just did an audition tape for another Mahal film last night, and I really hope I get this part. So maybe, you know, all of your audience out there can send me some good luck and good vibes that I get this part. I tried out for the part of Sally. She's the madam of the brothel, and it's a Western horror film. So it's going to be filmed out in the desert in California in an old ghost town. So I'd really love to have this part.
Seems like you keep going back and forth to the desert.
Yeah, I love it. I want to move to you know, out to Las Vegas because it's just close enough to L.A., but just far enough away. I love it out there, absolutely love it. And I don't even gamble, so it has nothing to do with that. But I love the food, and I love the people, and I love the desert. We filmed Bloodthirst in a little town called Nelson, and there's a mine, like an old gold mine there, and I think it's called... I can't remember the name of it. What?
Eldorado.
Yeah, the El Dorado Mine. That's it. It's an old gold mine. It's supposed to be haunted. So it was just a really, really cool place out there, and I kept thinking, I'd love to live out here, you know. It's very hot, though.
Yeah, I think that El Dorado Mine was on Zach was out there with Ghost Adventures.
I think you're right. And the rap party for Death Count was at the Golden Nugget, I think it's called. The Golden Tiki. That's it. It's called the Golden Tiki. I'm sorry. Oh, I don't want those people to get angry with me. So it was at the Golden Tiki, and Zach and the group they went there, too, like last year. And I didn't know that until I got back after the rap party, and I was here, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and one of the shows came on. I'm like, oh, my God, there they are at the Golden Tiki. We were just there, and it's haunted, too.
Now, a lot of these newer pictures are kind of low budget. I mean, they're not really high-costed films, but does the quality stand up in your opinion?
With the Mahal films, they're very good budget films. They're very high quality movies. I mean, they go all out. These films, you know, they're just like working for Warner Brothers. You know, great equipment, great crew. You know, we were working with about 100 people on set for Bridge of the Doomed and Bloodthirst 2. But of course, with COVID, when I went back out to do Death Count, there had to be like 30 people or less, I think, on film, and everybody has to have their temperature taken, and you know, you have to social distance, and unless you're doing your lines, then you have to be wearing a mask at all times. So yeah.
Do you have to get tested quite a bit?
Yes, most people do. Yes, to when you first initially go to the set.
You know, I know quite a few people in television, and they, you know, I don't want to mention them right now, a few stars, and they've just gone back to filming their shows, and I've asked them, and they're kind of like, they're really, really cautious, you know, and a lot of them, you know, when they actually start filming, a lot of them don't even go home. They have them put up in a hotel or something, and like in a bubble, until, you know, the show is done.
That is exactly correct. That is exactly what they're doing. They're encouraging people to just stay in your hotel room, you know, no unnecessary travel. So, and that's what we did. And we came back from it, and I don't think we didn't have a single case on set, on any of the sets that I've been on so far. You know, by the grace of God, so far we're all good. So, and we've been quarantining for a long time here because my mom is in her 70s and her health is precarious, so we've been doing teledoc and staying at home. So, you know, just I guess we just have to. It's just a new way of life for everybody to stay safe.
Now I know, just between you and me, and I'm going to get ready to tell the audience out there, but I know you are a little bit sensitive, or a lot sensitive, and doing these films I don't know, does it heighten your sense of ability, awareness that you do have some gifts?
I think so. I think so, definitely. I just have to give another shout-out to the Mahal brothers. I have enjoyed being on the sets with the Mahal brothers and their crews, and just we call ourselves a film family working. You know, it's like Quentin Tarantino has the same group that he likes to work with, and Clint Eastwood had the same group that he liked to work with. Well, the Mahal brothers have, you know, they have amassed this group, and I'm, you know, thankful that I'm a part of it, just a small part of it. And, you know, everybody's positive and upbeat and just helpful. Just a very great group of folks that have come together, and I just can't tell you because I've been on some really bad sets before that I won't talk about, where there was so much negativity and so much knife throwing, you know, just backstabbing, and yeah, I just don't want to work on those kind of sets anymore. But I guess, you know, we have to suck it up because it's part of the job. But with the Mahal brothers, they are true blue. They are the consummate professionals.
Well, I know I've seen documentaries of people that's done horror films, you know, The Exorcist and things like that, and they said a lot of different weird things happen on set. Has that ever happened to you?
Probably only when we were filming here. We filmed a movie. And gosh, it's been over 10 years ago. Called Scream Farm. It was named after my haunted house and hayride that we ran for 10 years. Called Scream Farm. Jim O'Rear was the producer and the director.
Oh, I know Jim.
I'm sorry.
I know Jim O'Rear. We've met.
Yeah, Jim's a great guy, and so Jim had come here and he put it all together and you know, directed and produced. And I was just revisiting some of those pictures for another interview that I did this past week. And we really had a blast here. But one night, and we were filming like 18-hour days, so we were really trying to get it done in 8 days because we were taking a month tour of China, so we had to get out of here quick. And I got up the next morning. I'd gotten like maybe 3 hours sleep, and everybody was coming to me on the crew, and there were like 50 people here at the time, from stunt people to makeup people, you know, craft service, everybody, and actors and actresses. And they told me that during the night there had been a group of people, probably about 20 people filming, and they saw something in the field right beside our house, and they said that it was 6 feet tall and had red glowing eyes, and just blew me away. So, you know, a lot of people were scared and a lot of people wanted to leave. They didn't want to film here anymore. And Jim, he managed to calm everybody down because he is a professional, and he kept it going and got the film finished on time in 8 days. But yeah, that was kind of scary, and we've never forgotten it. Never forgotten that happening.
Now, this was filmed at your place?
Yes, it was filmed right here at our home. And Maria Kiel was one of the actresses, Deborah Fuentes, who is sadly no longer with us. She passed away. Melanie Contreras was also here. And Maria Kiel, Deb, and Ms. Contreras were the three of the people that saw it, that saw the creature. And I don't know what it was, because we didn't get to see it because I was actually getting some sleep that night, 3 hours worth, but it terrified a lot of people. And we have just had continuous, since we've lived here in this home, paranormal activity until we finally had a blessing here about 6 or 7 months ago, after the second show, Ghost Loop, came, and Sean Austin is a part of that group. He used to be on Demon Files, and Eric Vitale, and they are just both consummate professionals. Eric Vitale, I still consider a friend, and Sean Austin still checks in with us. But I think that the combined effort of these professionals have helped us here. I really have. We have had 90% less activity in this house, 90%.
Now, you've had ghost files, dead files in there too, right?
Yes, we did. And Amy Allen is wonderful, and Steve DeShavi. I consider Steve DeShavi a friend till the end. He's true blue. He's what you see on the show. He's a great guy. He's a no-nonsense, honest, upfront, great guy. And Amy Allen, she's absolutely true blue. You know, what you see is what you get. She blessed the house. She told us things about us that were not on camera, and she just knows things. You know, she just knows things. She's just incredible. It was really a blessing to have them, to have both of the ghost shows here, because they all helped us in their own way.
Now, going back to the film company that was on your property, now, did they stay on the property, like in, you know, in vans and things like that?
Yes, and they had trailers brought in for some of the actresses, yes, and a lot of people did stay in our house. There were, at any time, given time, between 45 and 50 people here for 8 days, so a lot of people experienced various things.
Now, you said this creature showed up. Had it made itself known before then?
When my son was younger, he said that he saw something similar to that, and he doesn't like to talk about it, but he said had experiences here at this house. But, yeah, and several other people, too. But I have not. My brother has. My son has, and my brother Kenneth, that I run the businesses with, he has seen something here that he said was completely black, like a black bulbous shape the size of a man, but he said what he saw, the eyes were green. I don't understand the significance of the changing eyes, some people seeing red, some people seeing green, but they all describe the same, you know, that it was a black, you know, almost like an undulating, shape-shifting creature about as tall as a man, about 6 feet tall. So, I mean, that's their experience, and there's been, you know, there's been probably, I would say, 10 people that have seen it. There has to be something to it, you know, at this point.
How long have you owned that property?
We've lived here almost 20 years. Yeah, my dad...
And has there been any other strange things happen?
Oh, gosh. Do you have a while? Everything.
Yeah, we've got about 30 minutes.
Footsteps to people seeing shadow people here, people hearing their name called, people hearing voices, hearing the laughter of children. We had someone hear a gunshot, and then on another occasion, I heard a gunshot in the downstairs where the family room is. My son's his room is behind that, and I was in there typing on the computer and heard a gunshot. So that's at least two occasions someone's heard a gunshot here. Just many things. People have heard it will imitate other people's voice and call your name. I've heard that. I've heard my husband and my brother and my mom call my name, you know, and wake me up in the middle of the night like it was right by my ear. And you wake up and you find out the other person is either not here in the house or, you know, they're asleep, fast asleep. So, yeah, we've had a lot of activity here. People have been touched. My cousin's fiance, well, I mean, my niece's fiance has been scratched. That's the only known case that I know of someone being scratched.
I've seen pictures of your home and the interior and different things you have in there. I've seen, you know, the amusement park things and stuff like that. Do you think that you might have brought something in there that was attached to something?
You know, I have entertained every possibility. I don't rule anything out. But I will say this. My aunt, who's passed away now, my Aunt Jane, worked with the lady who lived here before us. We actually bought the house from them. I don't want to say their name. But we bought the house from them, and in her working with the lady, she told her that she had heard footsteps and she had heard voices here. So that tells me that that some of the activity predated us living here. So, I mean, I don't know what, but I know that both shows, one show focused more on the fact that I have a family curse. I do have a family curse. My grandfather actually killed, in a fit of rage, he killed his favorite cousin, who was like a best friend to him. They were moonshiners. They were illegal moonshiners, and the argument had started over moonshine, and it just dragged out, and it was egged on by other family members, and they got into an altercation, and my grandfather had just had gallbladder surgery, so he was really weak and sick, and C.A. was the cousin's name, and this happened back in 1934, so the 20th of October was 86-year anniversary of this happening, and they got into, you know, the fight just, it got worse and worse until my grandfather pulled a knife because he felt like he was being beaten to death, and he pulled a knife, and he stabbed C.A. twice in the arm and the shoulder, and when that didn't get him to leave him alone, he stabbed him in the stomach. He ruptured or severed his, I think it's the supramesenteric artery. It's the artery in the intestines, and he bled to death, and he was only 23 years old. And so all my life I've been told that because of that, his dying breath was to curse our family, to curse the Lockhart side of the family. So, you know,
well, has anybody else had problems in the family?
Yes, there's been a fair amount of bad luck in the family, deaths at an early age and bad luck. But when I moved here to this home, the thing is that my grandfather, there was an old gentleman here, an African-American gentleman who was making moonshine here, and his name was Grasshopper. And the way, that's what they called him, Grasshopper. And the way I understand it is he was one of the ones that taught my grandfather how to make moonshine. So that was right around here in this area that I live in, like very close to my house here. So, you know, maybe us moving here might have awakened something. I mean, with Cicero, with the curse of the family, and made it worse. But I'm telling you what, I've had some pretty bad luck here. You know, I won't go into all of it, but we've just had a lot of sickness and, you know, a lot of bad bad luck stuff. Like, we got, our house was robbed, and we were attacked by a neighbor who shot at us and basically tried to kill us. And then that was a long, drawn-out court battle. I mean, we've just had a lot of things like that, just crazy things happen here, just crazy things.
I think that's about the time we started talking, when the neighbor thing started going on.
Yeah, it was drawn out for over two and a half years, and then finally our attorney came up with a solution. He had vandalized our pool. The guy had vandalized our pool pipes, went to court, decided to defend himself, and admitted that he vandalized our pool pump not just once but four other times. He had caused us problems with it. He had done something to it, which was news to us, and so the judge basically gave him 2 days in jail, and he appealed it and got out. And we saw that nothing was going to happen. You know, we weren't going to have, this was just going to continue because he started to stalk me and stand at my back fence. I had to build a very expensive fence, like a wall around this place. It set me back $70,000. So, you know, just to keep him out, because he was obsessed. He was a stalker at this point. And, you know, I've just never seen anything like it. You just wouldn't believe it. And so finally our attorney worked out a deal so that we would drop the charges and he would move away. And so he moved away almost 3 years ago. Yeah, I had restraining orders against him and everything. It was, I'm telling you, you can't write this stuff. I need to write a book, because you can't, it seems like fiction, but it's not. It's true.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. You should sit down and write a book.
Yeah, I'm actually writing 3 screenplays right now.
When you're off the property, do you feel better? I mean, do you feel more freer? Do you feel more lucky?
100%, 1,000%. Yes, Willie, I do. I do, very much. When we go out to Las Vegas, it's magical. The good luck that I have is just magical. It's night and day, like a light at the end of the tunnel. Going down to Pascagoula, Mississippi, my mom felt better. We all felt better. We had a spectacular time anytime we leave the property. But it's hard to just pick up 2 businesses. It's hard to pick up and find a place like this, because my husband loves this house, which is, you know, it's another bizarre side to the story. He loves the house. I am not crazy about the house at all.
What drew you to the house?
My father. Actually, we were looking for 20 acres of land, and I went to the school that's 9 miles from here, Billingsley School. That was my alma mater. That's the school that I graduated from. So I wanted my son to experience that little country school. I wanted him to go there and, you know, just feel the love from that school. And so I drove him back and forth. I really guess I shouldn't tell that, because I used my ex-husband's address, and I drove 200 miles a day. That's a lot, 200 miles a day to get him to school and you know, back home to Montgomery, Alabama. And I did that for 4 years until we just decided it was such a long trip. He was never late to school, and he never missed a day. He was an honors student, so he was 4.0, and he was valedictorian of his class. I have to ring that bell. But anyway, I never missed a day, but it just got to be so much on the vehicle, you know, constant wear and tear on us. And so we decided to look for a house, and my father, you know, God rest him, he came out here with us, and we were looking for 20 acres down the road, which had a barn and everything and pastures for horses, because I've always loved horses. I had horses growing up. And my father looked over and saw this A-frame house. I'd always loved an A-frame house. And he said, hey, look at that house. Let's go check it out. So we sort of drove around it, because there's a dirt road around the land here. There's almost 10 acres. And, you know, he saw that it had a pool, and he saw that it had the big chimney for the fireplace. And he just sort of fell in love with it. And he said, I want you to have that house. And it just so happened the house was for sale. So the house picked us, I guess. You know, it's kind of crazy, but almost 20 years. I lost my dad. My dad passed away in 2005, and you know, we had been living here a few years, but I don't know. He liked.
Well, I've known a few more horror actresses, and they had a lot of stories too about their childhood, and especially, you know, where they're living at now, and they seem to think that what they do, their profession, and all that kind of gets things going, you know, supernaturally. Do you think that's
on
with you?
I really don't. I've done a comedy. I've done a historical documentary called Echoes from the Past. I've done other films. I've done commercials. I've done voiceovers. I've done other things. I just love horror films. I've always loved them since I was a child, just like I love amusement park rides. I don't really feel like it's in any way negative in my life. I was raised Catholic. I love Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I have that religious aspect to my life, and that brings me a lot of peace. And I don't really see that it has anything to do with the films, because they're make-believe, and I love doing them, but it's like it's a skill set, just like anything else. You know, some people are dentists, and some people, you know, are master mechanics or transmission engineers like my brother. This is just something that I'm good at, and I do, and I pursue. But I would take any kind of role. Like I said, I've done a comedy before. I'm happy when I'm working on films. It's a positive thing in my life. It brings positivity. It brings money, which is always positive. So I don't think that it's any negativity from, you know, because I quit doing it for several years to focus on the businesses, and still there was just a negative aspect to this property. There was just a lot of activity here. I mean, you can't keep an appliance here. You can't keep anything electrical. We've had 3 different electricians in here and paid a fortune to have everything gone over with a fine-tooth comb, and they always tell us it's not the electrical. Your electrical, it's not the electrical. You know, it's got to be something you're doing. Well, when you buy a brand-new shampooer and you take it out of the box and it catches on fire, and, you know, we've been through 4 sets of washers and dryers, 3 refrigerators. I mean, it's continuous. I can't keep a car running. I can't keep a vehicle running. There's always something, anything mechanical, anything electronic or electrical, it wreaks havoc on it here. So,
have you checked if your property is on a ley line?
You know, I've had someone else ask me about that, and that's probably definitely something that I should look into, Willie, definitely. I'm not sure. I know that it takes someone with the dowsing rods to find that out, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and also, you know, if it's a pretty good EMF meter, too, you can run it down that way, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you something interesting. Now, like I said, 90 to 95% of the paranormal activity. Now, the curse is still here. The bad luck thing is still here. We fight it every day here. We just pray and we try to be positive and we fight it. But it's definitely, you just can't have this kind of bad luck with things that we have. It's just not possible from a quantum physics standpoint. But when I knew I was going to, you know, come on the show today with you, and I kind of went back through my bio, and I was sitting here in the chair, and we used to have this thing where there are 2 windows in the master bedroom. We have a huge master bedroom. I think it's 30 by 30. It's really big. And so we have 2 windows on either side. They're big windows. And you would hear someone tapping on the window, and we have just debunked everything we could from the heat and the cold doing it because they're special storm windows, to thinking that it was a bird or a mouse, but we're up off the ground, so there's not a mouse. And, you know, a bird hits the window, and that does happen sometimes. You'll go outside, and you'll see the poor little injured bird. We have heard for years, and so have other people that have come, hey, it just did it. It just did it. It just now did it. Willie, I swear to you, it just did it. The tapping on the glass, it just tapped. And I was sitting here in my chair before coming on the show, going back through my bio, and it tapped twice in a row, and it just tapped again. It's like a fingernail tapping on the glass. It's bizarre. It stopped doing it, and I haven't heard it in over a year, but that makes 3 times today on the same pane of glass that I'm 10 feet from. So maybe
I have been known to have that effect on things.
That's what I was going to say. It's got to be positive this time, and it has to have something to do with you. So I guess it was sort of, you know, giving you its tap of approval.
Well, hopefully it'll bring you some good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it will. I definitely believe this has been really good luck. Yeah, I feel very fortunate.
Now, I have asked other horror actresses this before, and I want to get your opinion on this. How come when a actress is doing a, you know, I know you're doing a scene, how come they write in a scene when an actress is in a haunted house, instead of running out the front door, they run up to the attic?
You know, I couldn't even begin to surmise, and I have no idea. I think just different writers, different directors wanting to portray different emotions or different scenes. I really don't know, but you know, I've wanted to run out the front door of this house quite a few times, you know, more times than I can count in the last almost 20 years of living here. But what keeps me here is financial. And also, my husband, he has a love for this home. It's his first home that he's ever owned, and that means something to him. And if it means something to him, then by golly, it means something to me. So I guess we're just going to stay and fight it out.
And another thing I wanted to ask you about horror films, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're running for your life. You've got a road you can run down. Why do you always run into the woods?
That's a good. These are great questions. They really are. I think just because, you know, I think people think if I'm in the woods, they won't see me. But what they never think about is those monsters and those psychopaths usually come from that area. So they know those woods better than the back of their hand. And you don't if you're running from them. So really, you're probably right. If you run down that road, you may get lucky and, you know, you may have a passing motorist that picks you up. But remember all of those movies, at least 7 times out of 10, when somebody picks you up, it's always somebody. I just had another tap on the glass. Did you hear it, Leo? Just had another one. There you go, Willie. Yeah, I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they picked her up and they took her right back to the demented family, which would probably be my luck.
Okay. Another question. You got a killer after you, and you're running down the road, and he's got a car, and you're on foot. Why don't you run in the woods and hide?
I probably would. I would probably take my chances because I'm from Alabama, and I'm just a Southern girl, so I've been running through the woods since I was a little kid. You know, dodging those rattlesnakes and water moccasins, none of those scare me. They don't bother me. So I would probably take my chance running through the woods. I probably would, and I might outrun him, you know, because I've got some long legs and I can run pretty fast.
You know, you said you were writing screenplay. You might want to sit down and figure that out and maybe write it a different way, maybe to start making sense to people. Oh, that's why they did that.
That is exactly right. Good ideas. Good ideas. I'm gonna learn a lot from you, I can tell. One of my screenplays I'm writing is called Savage Whisper, and it's actually a Bigfoot film. So it will be another in the Bigfoot genre. It has First Nations people. It's set about 300 years ago. So, yeah.
Do you have any Native American blood?
I do. I have Seminole on my mother's side. I'm very proud of that.
Well, we need a really good Native American horror film.
Yeah, I agree. I love the culture very much. That's another reason I love going out to the desert, because we always like to go, you know, through Navajo country and Apache country, and you know, I love the people. Yeah, they have good food there. I like to go to the restaurants that are ran by the actual, you know, Navajo people. And the food's good. I love fry bread. So, yeah, good people.
I noticed, you know, you've been in quite a few zombie movies. Maybe you can figure this out. And, you know, like Night of the Living Dead back in the 50s, how, you know, how slow they moved and all that. How come zombies are faster nowadays in movies and TV shows?
You know, I think it's because people are faster, our minds are faster, technology's faster, young people are faster. You know, it's technology is so prevalent in our lives now that you can't get away from it. So everything's so fast. I think the slow movies would just the slow zombies would just bore people, and they wouldn't watch the movie, wouldn't watch the film. Interfear, the film that I just went to do, those zombies have a cute little unique thing to them is they glitch because they came out of the TV set when a meteor comes down and hits the antenna for WGUD, and so they're glitching. These zombies are glitching, so that's kind of cute. I'd never seen that before. So there's also going to be some zombie clowns in that film too. So a whole band of them. So I think it's going to be really cute.
I noticed one of your credits here. You got dead clowns down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that film. That was a lot of fun to make. It really was. I played an alder lady, an alderman or a council lady, and I have these home invasion. These two people, a man and a woman, who they're home invaders, and they break in during a hurricane because this film is set during a hurricane down in on the Gulf Coast down in Biloxi, and I actually attack one of them, and then they tie me up and. I'm telling them about the dead clowns, that the circus train went off into the bay and that they're there and nobody gave them a memorial, so they're coming for everybody during the hurricane. And nobody will listen to me. They're just laughing at me. So they sort of argue and go to another room, and when they come back, I'm dead because the dead clowns have broken in and slashed me to ribbons. So, and I remember I've been good friends with Joe Bob Briggs for a few years, and he's a great guy.
We've met.
What now?
I said, we've met.
Yeah. I used to be one of his web chicks. He's a really nice guy. I think he's getting back into films now, too. But yeah, he just said that he couldn't look at the pictures of the special effects. I don't know if I sent you one of those. I think it was the other interview that I did. I sent them a copy of it, but they didn't put it up with the interview because it was pretty gruesome. I mean, the special effects on my neck, where my neck is slashed up, looks so real. It's unbelievable. So it's a little more than some people can take.
Have you figured out what you'd like to do in the future now that you're back into film? I mean, is there something new you'd like to try?
I just want to do the best I can, and I have done zombie films, I've done vampire films, I'm writing my own screenplay for a Bigfoot film, but I've actually done a Bigfoot film, and David F. Friedman was actually in the film also. So I was in a film with David F. Friedman, and so that was pretty cool. And Rick Montana, who is also left us, you know, too young. But I think I just want to do every different kind of film that I can. I'm hoping that I get this part from the Western that it's a horror Western. I sent an audition tape in to the producers today. Well, we did it yesterday, but we sent it in today. So I'm hoping to hear something positive back from them, and then I'll get to do a Western. Maybe ride a horse. Who knows? I actually tried out for the part of the madam of the brothel. Her name is Sally. So she's kind of a wisecracking lady, you know, kind of funny and get some funny lines with it. So I learned my lines to do the audition instead of a lot of people like to hold the script when they're doing an audition. But I learned the lines, and I had a costume that was similar because I have a lot of costumes. I collect costumes. So I put on a costume that, you know, fit with the times and put my hair up and did my makeup accordingly and just had fun with it. So maybe I'll get that part. I hope so.
Well, maybe Netflix will contact you and you can do something for them.
Yeah, that would be cool. Just like you said, that's what everybody's doing now. People are doing their own content and everything seems to be out on some type of streaming service now. Or either it's in Redbox. Everything goes to Redbox.
Well, tell the people out there, you know, if, how they can you get your movies like on DVDs and things like that?
Yes, they can. You can track a lot of them down on different streaming services. Amazon has some of them. Yeah, eBay. eBay always has copies of Dead Clowns and Cremains. It's eternal. They're just always going to have a few copies for sale. So.
Well, Kimberly, our time has run out. See how fast it went? I told you it would.
And this was I had a blast. I'm just absolutely, I'm humbled. Thank you so much, Willie. You're fantastic. Your show's fantastic. And thank you.
Well, the reason I know so much about, you know, movies and things, I used to be in security work, and I've worked with a lot of celebrities, and I know the behind-the-scenes things. And, you know, I've worked on movies like Stripes with Bill Murray and things like that. So I know quite a bit about movie work.
Wow. And I could probably learn a lot from you, and I will take all of advice from you and, you know, definitely hold it near to my heart.
Well, keep me up to date on things you do, and when they come out, we'll have you on, and we can plug the things, and there's so much that's going on in your life that we haven't touched that we can go over it every time we talk.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay, Kimberly, you have a good night, and have a fun Halloween this week.
Yeah, you too. I want to say happy Halloween to all of your listeners. I hope everybody has a fantastic, safe, fun, spooky Halloween, and you too.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks. Good night, Willie.
Good night. Okay, folks, that's it for this week's show. I want to remind everybody I have books out on Amazon, the Shaman Windwalker and Soul Warriors. I also write for Underground Paranormal Magazine. I write for Legends Magazine. And, you know, I have stories come out and every month in each one of those magazines. And I want to tell everybody out there now, Halloween is Saturday. So if you're out trick-or-treating, you all be safe and do your safe distancing. Wear your mask, okay? And be very, very careful out there. And everybody will have a good time, you know. And here I think we're going to do the social distancing things. And in my area, especially in my complex, I think they're going to do a trunk or treat where kids go around and get candy out of people's trunks. So that's going to be a safe thing to do. So I'm going to get out of here, and I want everybody to have a good Halloween. And join me next week, and we're going to be in November, and I'm going to have, like, Shaman's Month with healers and things coming on to talk to you guys. So I'll see you next week. This has been Willie Windwalker Gibson, and this has been the Willie Windwalker Show, and I'll see you again next week, folks. Good night.